My guest at this time is Larry Haas. He served in the Clinton administration as a spokesman for the Office of Management and Budget, as well as communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. He is now a senior fellow with the American Foreign Policy Council, and he's been a guest of ours many times on issues both foreign and domestic. It's foreign that we focus on today. Larry has a piece in a recent edition of U.S. News and World Report entitled, "Giving Iran the Store, Tehran Has No Reason to Stick to a Nuclear Deal When Washington Is Always Willing to Concede More." And it's a fairly troubling piece here. Larry, first of all, thanks very much for being with us.
Nice to be here, as always.
One of the things that you lay out in considerable detail in this piece is step-by-step how Iran has failed to comply with its part of various nuclear agreements, and how the United States, in our position, seems more and more eager to give away more. Tell us exactly why you believe that's happening.
Well, the administration's involved in all sorts of troubling developments in the Middle East. President Obama came to office clearly believing that a reduced U.S. footprint in the region and, frankly, elsewhere around the world would lead to a more collaborative, more collegial, more peaceful world. And clearly, just the opposite has been true. What he has learned is that when America does not lead, the world becomes a messier, more dangerous place. Now the chickens are coming home to roost, and we're dealing with a lot of stuff in the region that's very messy. It is not entirely his fault, but it is partly his fault that that region has become messier. So in the context of all of this, he and his Secretary of State, John Kerry, have become ever more desperate for a victory out of that region. And the victory that they would really like these days is a negotiated agreement with Iran over its nuclear program. And that has led to some of the very bizarre and awkward negotiating tactics that they've been using of late.
And you talk about this in your piece to some extent. Talk about some of the latest avenues this administration and the U.S. in general appears ready to go down in order to get some sort of agreement from the Iranians.
Well, of course, it wasn't too long ago before we had been saying that that Iran does not have the right to enrich uranium. That was a position of the Bush administration and a position early on of the Obama administration. Now they've conceded under the interim agreement of last November that somehow Iran has the right to enrich, and we're just going to hopefully control how much it enriches. And then in the course of recent months, the amount that we would allow them to enrich has gotten ever larger. And, of course, the more that Iran can enrich, the more it has enriched fuel at a certain level, the faster it can convert that fuel to uranium that can be used in a nuclear weapon. So the more we allow them to enrich, the more centrifuges, which are the devices that actually enrich in a nuclear power plant, the more centrifuges we allow to be in place, the more we allow them to enrich at higher quantities, the closer they can be to a nuclear weapon on their own timetable. And that's very dangerous.
What leverage do we have at this point?
Well, you know, we had all the leverage that we needed before we cut the interim deal of nearly a year ago. Through all of the sanctions that we had put in place, both U.S. sanctions, European sanctions, global sanctions, the Iranian economy was really flat on its back. And I would argue, had we squeezed a little bit harder, that economy could have been close to collapse. And if there's one thing that the regime in Tehran values above everything else, it's its own power. Had the economy collapsed, there could very well have been an uprising, a revolt to overturn that regime. Certainly, I'm not predicting it definitely would have happened, but at least it was an open possibility. So we had tremendous leverage a year ago. And then we decided to cut a deal in which we would ease up on the sanctions to some extent, and Iran would do certain things, I would argue not very much, but certain things to slow down its nuclear program. But through the lifting of some of these sanctions, through some of the economic relief that we've given them, their economy has rebounded to a tremendous extent. And while certainly the sanctions that are still in place are still hurting them to some extent, they are no longer in dire straits. Their economy is growing again. Their inflation is way down. Their currency is way up. Their stock market is way up. So as their economy continues to improve, we have less and less leverage. Because frankly, what is it that we're hanging over their heads anymore? With an improving economy, we're not really in a position to say to them, okay, you desperately need us to ease up on the sanctions. They no longer desperately need us to ease up on the sanctions.
Wow. Larry, given what you mentioned right at the outset of all the other issues that we're dealing with in the region as well as around the world, how high of a priority do you think preventing Iranian nukes remains for this government?
Not nearly as high as it should be. I mean, certainly our battle with the Islamic State, the ISIS group, is a serious one. And we are certainly doing the right thing by being involved, although a lot of critics do not think that we're going to be able to solve this problem only from the air, through bombing raids, which is what we're doing at the moment. But that's a serious problem and one we should be engaged with. And other problems in the region are serious. But the prospect of a radical regime in Tehran with nuclear weapons remains the number one nightmare scenario for the United States, not just in the region, but perhaps around the world. And we are not giving it nearly as much attention as we were 2 years ago or 4 years ago, and certainly not nearly as much as we should be today. We should not be distracted. This remains a top priority, and we're not giving it the attention it deserves.
Last question for you, Larry. What can we do to flip around this momentum and put pressure on them and make sure that there aren't nukes someday coming out from them or their terrorist allies?
Well, if somebody were to appoint me king, what we would do is not allow for another extension of the temporary agreement. We've already extended it more than once. It expires at the end of November. We should declare that that's it. If we do not get a deal that's in U.S. interests by the end of November, we should turn course and reimpose all of the sanctions that we gave some relief from last November. I don't think that this administration will be willing to do that, but I think that if we ever want to regain the leverage that we once had, we have to once again pursue a very stringent sanctions policy backed up by the legitimate threat of force against their nuclear sites. Otherwise, they have nothing to fear from us, and they're not going to cut a deal, and eventually Iran will have nuclear weapons.
Wow. Sobering picture. But Larry, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for asking me.
Larry Haas, a former spokesman for the Clinton Office of Management and Budget. He was communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. He's a senior fellow with the American Foreign Policy Council, and he's the author of Sound the Trumpet, The United States and Human Rights Promotion. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America. Excellent, sir. Thank you.
Well, you know, once again, I always fear that that my answers are going on too long, but I hope it's coherent.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah,
okay.
You're doing fine.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Greg. Hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks
All right,
always.
See ya.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.